now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day for a great surprise when a salon. Yeah, that's right. Salon.com, which is generally perceived, and I think accurately perceived, as a very much left of center site on the web. Salon.com has risen to a challenge and gone forward to shatter the old stereotype that conservatives are grumpy, unhappy, nasty, bitter. Here's the headline. Study, :, extreme conservatives make happier people. Okay, I didn't write it. It's Salon.com. It's based upon a big, big academic study over in Canada. We'll tell you about it. But if you have a problem with that proposition, if you think that's just silly, that conservatives are, in fact, unhappy, bitter, negative, if you believe that is true about extreme conservatives in particular, give us a call. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Let me get to the substance of this right away, because I love this, because it confirms something that I've been talking about and writing about for years and years and years and years. I did a book called Right Turns, which came out in 2004, the very end of 2004, 2005. And my book was about how I went from my status as a punk liberal activist to becoming the lovable conservative curmudgeon that I am today. And it was also a story about going from secular to religious. And, okay, basically my story. But I put together a lot of lessons that I learned along the way. There are actually 35 of them that had made me more conservative. And one of those most important lessons was something that I noticed very dramatically during the time that I worked in politics professionally after I left law school. And what I had noticed was that conservatives were nicer and generally happier. I was exposed to some liberal monsters. I was. There was a member of Congress who, at least for the moment, will remain nameless, who had an office next to the office where I worked. And we used to laugh about it because she was so out of control. There was always screaming and the sounds of breaking things. And extraordinarily unpleasant stuff going on in that office. And it wasn't anyone on the staff. It was the elected member of Congress, who was very, very much a liberal hero, basically beating up people. I spoke, and this is this year in 2013, I spoke to somebody who I hadn't met before. But he was on the staff of this congresswoman. And he said, and I was recalling my recollections of her office and what a nightmare it was. And when I said breaking things, broken glass and shouting and cursing and just complete carrying on. It was like a barroom brawl in that office always. And she could not keep people working for her because they would quit. And she was an impossible person. She was a horrible person. Really extraordinarily nasty. And frankly, I don't know anyone who had any personal affection for her at all. Big liberal heroine. And so I'm talking to this guy who is a writer. He was on my show to promote his book. And I'm talking to him off the air. And I said, so you worked for her. Did you find her as different? He said, yeah, she hit me. I said, come on. And this is a big lady. And okay, so she hit him. Do you have any idea if this had been a male congressperson hitting a female employee, this is the end of the world. But this is something that I observed. Okay, I would argue that there is a reason for all of this. That there is a reason that, and when it comes to just cheerfulness, being polite, being easy to get along with, I honestly believe that conservative ideology and a conservative view of the world is likely to make you happier, and it's also likely to make the people around you happier, because you're going to be easier to get along with and less impossible. 1-800-955-1776. And yes, this connects directly to Anthony Weiner. I know he thinks everything connects directly to you know where, but we will get to that. Okay. Let me get to this study first, because I think it's fascinating. The piece, which is by Tom Jacobs for Salon, starts out this way. It says, given the many instances of Tea Partiers lashing out in anger over the past few years, it's reasonable to think this is an extremely unhappy group of people. Reasonable, but wrong. Okay, it's right here in Salon. By the way, if Tom Jacobs had ever actually attended a Tea Party event or had ever gone to any kind of meeting like that, he'd know it's not an unhappy group of people. It's a very festive group of people. Okay, they have this weird thing of dressing up like Minutemen. Got it. But that's not everybody. Not everybody dresses up in colonial clothes. And even the dressing up in colonial clothes is kind of fun. What's wrong with it? Who does it hurt? That's not a grumpy thing to do. You know, you wouldn't want to dress up like a monster. That's different. Or dress up like this late congresswoman I was mentioning. That's actually a very scary Halloween costume. Thinking of that, of course, most people wouldn't remember. Okay, reasonable but wrong. Tom Jacobs writes, at least that's the implication of a newly published research paper from Canada. It finds a, quote, significant association between conservative attitudes and a subjective sense of well-being. These findings are, quote, in line with evidence that conservative ideology may promote positive psychological outcomes. Okay, can we say that one more time? Conservative ideology may promote positive psychological outcomes. That's the conclusion of a research team led by psychologist Kara McInnes, female, of the University of Toronto, and Michael Busseri of Brock University. In the journal Personality and Individual Differences, one of my favorite magazines, actually I've never heard of the magazine before, but okay. In the journal Personality and Individual Differences, the researchers describe a study featuring 237 Canadian university students. Participants provided a set of opinions to determine the extent to which they are aligned with right-wing instincts. And they define that is a tendency to submit to authority, to condemn those who violate rules, and to uphold established traditions. Okay, guilty as charged. And this, by the way, in terms of submitting to authority, condemning those who violate the rules, and upholding established traditions, I've kind of always been that guy. I mean, even when I was on the left, which is why it was never a good fit for me. They then give a second set of opinions designed to determine their social dominance orientation, another aspect of generalized authoritarianism. Specifically, they express the extent of their agreement with statements such as, some groups of people are just more worthy than others. Okay, some groups of people are just more worthy than others. I think groups of people who might be characterized by hard work and productivity and following the rules rather than breaking the rules. People, for instance, we have a guest in the studio who's been married for 48 years. I think that counts as more worthy than somebody who's had a tough time constructing a lasting relationship. Finally, they were asked to rate their current life on a scale of 1 to 9, from 1 being the worst life I could have, to 9 being the best life I could have. They were also given 20 adjectives, 10 positive, 10 negative, and asked to about the extent to which each described how they feel in general. The results were striking. On the general level, greater generalized conservatism was clearly related to greater subjective well-being. The researchers write, the association suggests that generalized authoritarianism may be good for the self. Okay, how does this work? Why would this be the case? It seems to me that this is the case because if you are living without standards, if you believe that there are no standards in your life, that there is no guide to right behavior, if you don't know what the hell you're doing in life, that is not a formula for happiness. This was my problem, and I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. There was an outrageous article. It was a very, very long article, and I read the whole bloody thing in Atlantic. It is by Lisa Mundy, and it's called The Gay Guide to Wedded Bliss. And it says, research finds that same-sex unions are happier than heterosexual marriages. What can gay and lesbian couples teach straight ones about living in harmony? Okay, this is so beyond belief silly. But what's their big point? The big point about this is the reason they consider gay couples happier than straight couples. Well, that secret gets to why it is that conservative ideology is actually a better formula for happiness. We'll get to that and your calls. If you disagree with any of these conclusions, give us a call.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, where it's easy to save 15% or even more on car insurance with Geico, just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO, and the only hard part is to figure out which way is even easier. And it's easy to see the basic point in this Canadian study that was actually featured in Salon. And I'm eager to get the study itself, and maybe we can even speak to a couple of professors who did it. Because the study, as the headline in Salon says, it indicates that extreme conservatives make happier people. Why? Because extreme conservatives are concerned with certain rules. And they're concerned with trying to follow those rules ourselves. And also with trying to make sure that those rules are fairly and consistently applied in society. And Here's part of what they write in Salon. They said, in some ways, this result, the idea that conservative attitudes may be, quote, good for the self, that was the conclusion. In some ways, this result is counterintuitive. Much previous research has tied conservatism to higher levels of perceived threat. It's hard to reconcile how people can both feel threatened and have a strong sense of well-being. When you talk about perceived threat, I don't think it's perceived threat to individuals. It's perceived threat to maintaining the kind of blessings in society that you yourself have received. On the other hand, a strong sense of social hierarchy, they write, the notion that everybody has his place can arguably provide a coherent structure that makes the world seem less chaotic and theoretically more controllable. That could in turn promote a sense of well-being. It's also important to note that the study participants were overwhelmingly young and female. Those are two groups that are not normally associated with conservative values. They say there were also Canadians who, as a group, report higher levels of well-being than Americans. Well, so what? It's still, the study still shows that people who had the conservative attitudes had a higher sense of well-being, described themselves as generally happier than the liberals. Now, could it be that, you know, the old line that causation is not necessarily implied by correlation? Could it be that it's actually the opposite? It's that happier people are more likely to become conservative. Sure, I think there's an element of that. Because part of what being a liberal means is needing to believe that the world is desperately wrong and we've got to fix things and we've got to change it. We've got to remake the world and start over and start from fresh. But this gets to my point about this to me, deeply silly gay marriage article in The Atlantic, The Gay Guide to Wedded Bliss. By the way, this is not to say that gay couples are all unhappy or all happy or anything of that kind. I'm sure that gay couples come in just as many varieties as straight couples. Some wonderful couples who are happy every day they're together and love each other a lot. Fine, great. And others, there where the couples could be abusive and dysfunctional, which happens for straight couples too. But here is the interesting thing, and I think it's very important. As Lisa Mundy writes, but what if the critics are correct, the critics of gay marriage, just not in the way they suppose? What if same-sex marriage does change marriage, but primarily for the better? The larger change might be this. By providing a new model of how two people can live together equitably, same-sex marriage could help haul matrimony more fully into the 21st century. Although marriage is in many ways fairer and more pleasurable for both men and women than it once was, it hasn't entirely thrown off old notions and habits. As a result, many men and women enter into it burdened with assumptions and stereotypes that create stress and resentment. Others, confronted with these increasingly anachronistic expectations at odds with the economic and practical realities of their own lives, don't enter into it at all. Same-sex spouses, she writes, who cannot divide their labor based on pre-existing gender norms, must approach marriage differently than their heterosexual peers. From sex to fighting, from child-rearing to chores, they must hammer out every last detail of domestic life without falling back on assumptions about who will do what. Sounds like fun, right? We got to hammer out every detail about what we expect. This is exactly why liberals are more likely to be unhappy. If you have to figure everything out as if you were the first person who ever lived, and you can't be guided by wisdom and arrangements and expectations and a sense of eternity and connection, which is at the heart of a conservative viewpoint, if you have to start from scratch, and everything has to be negotiated, everything has to be fought out, that's exhausting, and it's a formula for misery. Let's go to your calls to Eric in Chicago. Eric, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Medved. Thank you for my radio debut. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
I really can't speak to the details of the study. I don't have it in front of me and the like. But it's just been my experience as one who kind of associates with a fairly broad swath of society. Most of the happy people that I know, be they on the left or on the right, seem to be more geared by being moderate as opposed to being attached to a specific ideology.
Okay. You could be right in one sense. It's okay. Not their ideological orientation. There's a dirty little secret about most moderates and most independents. And don't tell anybody. Let's just keep it between us. But it's a dirty little secret. You know what it is? Most people who say I'm moderate and most people who say I'm independent, they're really non-political. They're really uninvolved with politics. They don't care about it. They don't think about it. Now, I do believe that you can make an argument that to focus entirely on personal life, on individual life, on your immediate surroundings, on your family and community, that could be a formula for greater happiness. I understand. Being involved with politics involves a certain level of aggravation. But if you feel you're honor-bound to do that, then it's worth it. Let's go to Steve in Tacoma, Washington. Steve, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Doing well.
I think, well, you shot a little hole in it when you said that it was mostly white women, young white women, who gave the survey. But I say conservatives are happy because they're rich white men.
Okay. Or could they be, first of all, could this, there is a hole in it because this is a survey that is primarily female. But, and the point that they're making is that with this survey, they also adjusted in the study. For various statuses that are normally associated with a sense of well-being. In other words, you can't compare someone who's earning $100,000 with someone who's earning $10,000 unless you have to compare that person who's earning $100,000 who says, I'm a more conservative, with somebody else who's earning $100,000. You follow?
Demographically speaking, in America, though, aren't we the wealthier lean towards conservative, whereas the less wealthy lean towards liberal?
It's actually not true. Statistically, it's not true. Once you get toward a certain level of wealth, earning over $100,000, a typical measure, you start getting more liberal again. And liberalism attracts people at the very top and at the very bottom. Of all the 20 wealthiest zip codes in the United States, they all voted for Obama over Romney. All of them. 34 minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, where you can find a great deal on a brand new car at autotrader.com. Compare prices and special offers on new cars from local dealers. Autotrader.com, the ultimate new car marketplace. We're talking about the marketplace on ideas and the way that ideas impact human happiness, based upon a new study out of Canada that suggests that right-wingers, not just conservatives, but right-wingers are more likely to be happy than people in the middle or on the left. It says, this research calls into serious question. This is an article from Salon. It's not a conservative general. This research calls into serious question the notion of far right-wingers being grumps who are taking out their misery on those around them. If these results are correct, they may be making others plenty miserable. But on a personal level, they're doing quite okay. I don't really believe that right-wingers are making others plenty miserable. In other words, one of the things about happiness, and you know this from your own experiences in life, happy people tend to make other people happy. Unhappy people tend to make other people unhappy. Isn't that obvious? You see that working in marriage. You see that working in friendships. You see that working in workplaces. It's great to be around people who are optimistic and positive and glad to be alive. Not so great to be around people who are always complaining, like, well, people on the left, who believe that the world is fundamentally unjust, that things are just terribly wrong, and you always need some big, big, big new government program to rescue you. And that's why the idea of a liberal happy warrior is almost a contradiction in terms. What are you fighting for? You're fighting to correct the profound, deep-seated, eternal injustice in the world, right? Let's go to Mike in Montclair, New Jersey. Mike, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
Yeah, I agree and disagree with what you're saying in the survey. I mean, first of all, I grew up in Canada, and conservatism, quote-unquote, is quite different in Canada than it is in the States. And also this idea that conservatives are right-wingers or worse, authoritarian. Well, this is nobody's more authoritarian than the left. That should be obvious over the last 5 years.
Yes, when they use the term authoritarian, and I was troubled by that because they use that term in this article a lot, what they mean is people who respect authority, not necessarily people who are trying to impose authority or take rights away from anybody else.
Yeah, but that's the wrong term for it.
I think you're right.
The thing is that you're correct when you talk about tradition. This is a problem. The left really just despises tradition, and it's always wanting to overturn it. It sees it as something that has to be destroyed to bring on, you know, the progressive new era and so forth. And in that sense, yes, tradition does result in happiness. There is tremendous wisdom from the centuries of what people have, what's tried and true, and especially in religion.
You know what the best evidence of that is right now? The best evidence of that right now is the royal baby, Prince George of Cambridge, right? Because this is a story. It is impossible to watch this story. It's impossible to watch that young couple. I don't care how sick you are of the attention of the royals. This is a story that produces happiness. Doesn't it make you happy to watch it?
I'm not really that interested in the royal family, to be honest.
Okay, I understand. I understand. But one of the things that was striking to me, and this is something my wife wrote about, and we've posted the blog at our website at michaelmedved.com, is that it came out that they came out with a baby, they hadn't named it yet, the same day that Anthony Weiner and his pathetic wife, I feel sorry for her, I don't feel sorry for him, I feel disgusted by him, but they had their press conference. You have two couples, one very traditional couple, very traditional, everything is tradition. They named the baby after his great-great-grandfather because Will apparently is very close to the Queen, his grandmother. This is, we are going to carry on traditions. That was why their wedding made people happy. And go ahead.
Do you think the royal family is happy? I don't. I think when you have that kind of, you talk about a welfare state. I mean, that's kind of what the royal family is. They're supported by the government.
But they also work. They perform a job for people. I think Queen Elizabeth has worked extraordinarily hard. If you look at her schedule, She travels all over the world. She has served as a unifying symbol for her country. She's one of the most beloved and admired people in the world. And she didn't get there by doing nothing or sitting on her crown. When we come back, I want to connect this even further to Anthony Weiner. He shows, demonstrates why liberalism is a formula for unhappiness. Coming up.
The Michael Medved Show. MichaelMedved.com.
Four minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved Show, I do believe that this study about conservative attitudes being a more reliable formula for happiness and satisfaction and basically good behavior, because happiness and satisfaction are important for good behavior. Happier people tend not to do terrible things. Now, that's not always true. There are such things as sociopaths who are very happy being sociopaths. But I don't think that's true of Anthony Weiner. He didn't look like such a happy camper the other day when he did that press conference, which had to be. That was much worse because he had his wife there than the Appalachian Trail press conference with then Governor Sanford, who's, of course, now back in Congress. But in fairness, I wanted to talk about a number of the scandal poster boys right now. Elliot Spitzer this morning was stopped by a reporter, and he gave the soundbite to all end all soundbites. He was asked, "Well, are you going to have a Weiner problem?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Well, are you sure you haven't used prostitutes since you resigned?" And Spitzer said, "No, I have not used prostitutes since 2008." Now you can put that on bumper stickers. That's very encouraging. But here is the point about these people, about Mayor Bob Filner of San Diego. There's now a third woman who's come out and talked about being assaulted by this liberal Democratic monster. Why is it that these three liberals, Elliot Spitzer, Bob Filner, and Anthony Weiner, how is it that people can get up in the morning and still feel good about themselves? I mean, Elliot Spitzer spent $87,000 on prostitutes. That's even when you're fabulously wealthy with your daddy's money, that's a lot of money.
Just stop it.
Yeah. No evidence that individual, but he's another example. There's scant evidence that Bill Clinton ever seemed to be deeply troubled by guilt until he got caught. And here is the point that I think needs to be made. You may remember there was a commentator during the Clinton impeachment scandal called Nina Burley. And she said, I don't care what Bill Clinton has done to other women. I am willing to put on my presidential knee pads. That's what she said. She was writing for Time magazine. As long as he defends a woman's right to choose. In other words, if you're on the left, the highest standard of morality is your political position. Because for the left, the way you fix the world, the way that you help other people, the way that you make a contribution to society is entirely political. Because to them, political life is more important than personal life. That's why Ted Kennedy, whatever happened, whatever train wreck he was involved in, no, car wreck he was involved in, whatever death he was involved in, it didn't matter. Because his politics was right. For conservatives, it's different. And it's one of the native advantages that liberals have. See, on our side, I think most people who have conservative attitudes believe family life is most important. Next would be what you do in your community with your immediate surroundings. And then only after that is this wider world of politics and ideas and ideology and the clash of ideologies. We really do care more deeply about personal life. And yeah, and by the way, Mark Sanford, and that doesn't mean that there aren't conservatives who have scandals, but they tend to, and Mark Sanford would be an exception. They tend to resign or go away. I'm thinking of Senator Ensign, you remember, or Larry Craig, who went away, or Mark Foley, who resigned, if you remember that. So again, this is not to say that only liberals have scandals. It's only liberals will stay there and defend themselves, because to them, the higher morality is not what you're doing in the office or after hours. The higher morality is your political commitment. And I think it's a very dangerous kind of approach for anybody. Let us go to Ryan in Tarzana, California. Ryan, you're on the Michael Medved show. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, it's actually Brian.
Brian, oh, sorry.
No, not a problem. I just wanted to get your take on this. I mean, this Salon article, which I, you know, thanks to you, I went online and read myself, is a prime example of the liberal tendency to, whenever they pay a compliment, and I'll put that word in quotes, to conservatives, it's always invariably backhanded. The subtext of a lot of these compliments, like, and I'm quoting here from the article, authoritarianism was clearly related to greater subjective well-being, and more disturbingly, Michael, quote, a strong sense of social hierarchy, the notion that everyone has their place. That's racism. Essentially, he's saying, yes, one reason that conservatives are happier is because if you believe in racist ideas, you're going to be happier. And I just wanted to know what you think of that liberal tendency.
Well, I'll tell you what else. This is very similar to the idea of secularists toward religious people. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, and it really does. It was one of those things that but both amuses me and enrages me. People will say, oh, I wish I was able to have faith like you do. I wish I was able to. Okay. And the implication being, I wish I were as dumb as you. I wish I was able to believe the way that you believe. How many people who are religious have heard that a zillion times? And again, I was involved in a conversation about this yesterday with somebody. And that notion that somehow it's only simple-minded people, yeah, like simple-minded people like Bill Buckley or George Will or Charles Krauthammer, who are conservative. Now, I mention those three because I think they're three of the brightest people I've ever met. And look, the notion that somehow if you can be conservative, you're happy because you're dumber, or as you put it, and Brian, you're exactly right, because you're more bigoted or somehow there's something lacking in you. But that goes along with this liberal idea that if you are smart, if you are sensitive, how can you be happy? Because you look at this terrible world and you feel the need for some massive government program to fix it. We will be right back. Those programs, by the way, always fail because, and that contributes to the liberal unhappiness. We'll be right back.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Minutes after the hour on the Michael Medved show, talking about a controversial Canadian study highlighted in Salon. It's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. Just the article about it. The study itself, I'm sure, being an academic study, is going to be much, much longer. But it suggests that conservative attitudes, what they characterize as authoritarian attitudes, lead to better results for people in terms of happiness and a better sense of self. Controversial or obvious? Let's go to Barbara in Chicago. Barbara, you're on the Michael Medved show.
Hey, Michael. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say your comments about liberals and Republicans, I guess, being more decent human beings, I couldn't disagree with more. I know you are biased, and you always say that. But, and by the way, I think Anthony Weiner and Stanford and all these guys are ridiculous. But, you know, Newt Gingrich was an adulterer. I think powerful men cheat on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely true. Barbara, absolutely true. What I was saying was not that I'm, and I don't know of any studies on this. I just know of impressions.
That's,
and hold on, Barbara. I agree with you. I'm not trying to suggest that liberals are more likely to cheat. What I am saying, and I don't think you can contradict this, is that liberals are also much more likely to forgive and to stay in office. Conservatives who are caught in that kind of situation generally leave office, as, by the way, Newt Gingrich did.
He run for president? Or
he did later, but much later. Oh. He left as Speaker of the House in 98, I believe, or 99.
Okay, so if they give it more time in between, then it makes them more...
And by the way, Newt Gingrich wasn't forgiven by all conservatives by any means. In other words, with Ted Kennedy, I would use that. That's an extreme example. A girl died, right? I mean, really, wouldn't you think that that would knock someone out of politics forever? He ran for president after that. He kept getting reelected to the Senate. He was treated as one of the greatest liberal heroes.
Okay, but Michael, I would really disagree with you. And I know people put, you know, conservatives in a little hole, and they put liberals in a hole. If you think all liberals forgive idiots, like the woman who the article that you cited that she's wearing knee pads, it's ridiculous.
No, you're right. There are all exceptions. There is no such thing as enforcement of patterns in either liberals or conservatives, and I agree with you. However, look at the Bill Clinton situation. One of the most biggest mistakes I ever made in American politics is I predicted Bill Clinton would resign. Is that after that level of embarrassment and humiliation, I would have thought he would. Richard Nixon resigned when the humiliation factor, frankly, was much less. But Bill Clinton stuck it out, and today is one of the most admired people in... this is what Anthony Weiner has done to the public discourse. He is still one of the most admired people in this greatest nation on... Not Weiner, Clinton, in this greatest nation on God's green earth.